विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So this Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani book is divided into 5 sections. The first section is about mixed devotional service, which the subject matter is discussed in detail in Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. And the second section, which spoke about pure devotional service, is as it is, more or less as it is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Eastern section. That was what we studied till 14th chapter. The 15th chapter till 19th chapter, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, these 5 chapters are as it is from Madhurya Kadambini. The 8 showers of Madhurya Kadambini condensed into these 5 chapters. Condensed, nahi, actually expanded only. Madhurya Kadambini is a very small chapters. These are very long. So, that is till 19. Then 20 to 30, those 11 chapters talk about hearing, different kinds of hearing, different levels of hearing, qualifications for hearing, at what level what can be heard and things like that. Then 31, 32, last two chapters, that is the fifth part, that talks about how can one reach the level of nishtha and from nishtha to prema. Reaching the level of steadiness and reaching the level of love of God. This is how this book is divided into these 5 sections. So with the last chapter ending, we completed the second section, which was based on nectar of devotion. Now we are starting the third section with this chapter, which is which will be the next 5 chapters starting with this chapter. Will be, revisiting Madhurya Kadambini. जिसको Madhurya Kadambini नहीं हुआ, ये जो 5 chapters के द्वारा आपका Madhurya Kadambini and more will get over. So you don't have to worry that you have not specifically done Madhurya Kadambini. Madhurya Kadambini full fledged ये 5 chapters में आपका cover हो जाएगा. Okay. But provided you come regularly. On time, then you can cover. जो माधुर्य का अभी हम next 5 chapters में पूरा माधुर्य कादंबिनी cover करने वाले हैं. जिनका माधुर्य कादंबिनी नहीं हुआ, वो definitely आ जाओ. और जिनका हो गया पर revise करना चाहते हैं, वो भी definitely आ जाओ. और जिनका हो गया पर आप भी definitely आ जाओ, ताकि आप ठीक से समझे कि नहीं, वो समझ में आ जाए. So, this 15th chapter is titled The Path to Association with Pure Devotees. So, the 15th chapter is talking about Path to Association with Pure Devotees. 16th talks about Anartha Navritti. And 16th talks about Unsteady Devotion, I think. Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. 17th talks about Anartha Navritti. 18th talks about Nishtha and Ruchi. 19th talked about Asakti, Bhava and Prema. So, like that. So, in this way, like, all of, the whole of Madhurya Kadambini is covered. Okay. So, the first two parts of this book describe various aspects of mixed and pure devotional service. This topic is like an ocean of nectar, and the account given here but a thimble full of that nectar. Thimble means small cap. Matlab jo syrup ka bottle ke upar jo cap rehta na waisa. By drinking from this thimble, devotees will taste the ocean from which it was drawn and gain further insight into the eternal spiritual science of devotional service. Part 3, which starts from this chapter, traces the awakening of devotional service from the acts that lead to a semblance of faith all the way up to pure love. श्रद्धा भास से, श्रद्धा से భజన క్రియా, సాధుసంగ భజన క్రియా, అనర్థన వృత్తి, నిష్ట, రుచి, ఆసక్తి, భావ, ప్రేమ. వైల్ ది స్టడీ డీల్స్ విత్ కామన్ మిస్కాన్సెప్షన్స్ అండ్ ఇంప్రాపర్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ దట్ అరైజ్ ఇన్ ది ప్రాసెస్, త్రూ అవుట్ ఇట్ ఆల్సో స్ట్రెసెస్ ద ఇంపార్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద కంపెనీ ఆఫ్ ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్. ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్. Chapter 15 will outline the progress of devotional service leading up to the semblance of devotion, including entrance into the association of pure devotees. Matlab, a case of how does Shraddha develop and Shraddha how it leads to Sadhu Sangha. This will be 15th chapter. 16th chapter will be Bhajana Kriya, which is Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. 17th chapter will be Anarthana Vritti. 18th will be Nishta Ruchi. 19th will be Asakti Bhavan Prema. So, 3 showers last chapter, 2 showers the chapter before that, and then first 4 chapter, 3 chapters will be 3 one shower each. Okay.
So, Bhava Prema in the previous chapters you already.
Yeah, but but this will be from Madhura Kadamini's point of view. But first, who are the pure devotees? The pure devotees are Vaishnavas coming in disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who strictly practice devotional service as the Lord taught it and who dedicate themselves to his mission. They are pure devotees. Who are strictly following the principles of devotional service as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay.
Yeah.
And who are dedicated to his mission.
If your duty looks like it is at the level of Shraddha, he is not talking about other symptoms.
Yeah.
Basic definition.
Sanatan Goswami called Haridas Thakur the perfect example of such a Vaishnava. Apane achare keha nakare prachar, prachara kare na keha nakare achar. ఆచార ప్రచార నామేర్ కరహ దోయి కార్య తుమి సర్వ గురు తుమి జగతేర ఆర్య. సమ్ బిహేవ్ వెరీ వెల్ బట్ డు నాట్ ప్రీచ్ ద కల్ట్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్, వెరస్ అదర్స్ ప్రీచ్ బట్ డు నాట్ బిహేవ్ ప్రాపర్లీ. యూ సైమల్టేనియస్లీ పర్ఫార్మ్ బోత్ డ్యూటీస్ ఇన్ రిలేషన్ టు ద హోలీ నేమ్ బై యువర్ పర్సనల్ బిహేవియర్ అండ్ బై యువర్ ప్రీచింగ్. దేర్ ఫోర్ యు ఆర్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్, ఫర్ యు ఆర్ ద మోస్ట్ అడ్వాన్స్డ్ డివోటీ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్. దిస్ డెఫినేషన్ ఆఫ్ అ ప్యూర్ వైష్ణవ రూల్స్ అవుట్ both the so-called devotees who make a show of devotion without possessing the prerequisite faith. Prerequisite shraddha nahi hai, par phir bhi, you know, they just make a show of devotion. And those who claim to be spontaneous devotees without possessing the prerequisite greed. Matlab jo vaidhi sadhana ka jo prerequisite hai, shraddha, wo shraddha ke bina, you know, they seem to be performing some activities. అండ్ రాగానుగ సాధన కా ప్రీ రిక్విజిట్ హై లోభ, ఓ లోభ కే బినా ఓ దే ఆర్ ట్రైంగ్ టు యాక్ట్ ఆన్ ద లెవెల్ ఆఫ్ రాగానుగ సాధన. సో దట్ ఈస్ లైక్ సహజీ యాస్ యూ కెన్ సీ. సిస్టమాటిక్ స్టడీ ఆఫ్ ద సబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ డివోషన్ ఇస్ మెంట్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ టు వీడ్ అవుట్ ఇమిటేటర్స్ బట్ టు టీచ్ ఆనెస్ట్ డివోటీస్ హౌ టు రికగ్నైజ్ హూ ఇస్ అడ్వాన్స్డ్ అండ్ హూ ఇస్ నాట్ అండ్ హూ హాస్ ద క్వాలిఫికేషన్స్ టు అడ్వాన్స్ అండ్ హూ డస్ నాట్. So therefore, a systematic study of these topics is very important to understand what is a weed and what is a seed. And also to teach honest devotees how to recognize someone who is more advanced and how to recognize someone who may not be so advanced. With this information, sadhakas can seek out and then remain in the company of mature Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas who empower devotees with love of Krishna in an authorized way. This is very important. To have the association of those Vaishnavas who can empower others with love of Krishna in an authorized way.
Authorized way, sir?
As given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Immature devotees sometimes declare, "I believe in Krishna," as if faith were the be all and end all of Krishna consciousness. Of course, it is essential to believe in Krishna, but belief or faith is only the first step in progressive march to perfection. Adav Shraddha. Antav Shraddha nahi hai. Adav Shraddha hai. Faith alone is not enough to achieve pure love of God. Faith must be accompanied by service. So it is also the devotee's duty to know how to render favorable service. That is all. That's why next is bhajana kriya. Sadhu sangha then bhajana kriya. Sincere devotees who try to understand the science of serving Krishna will surely succeed in their efforts. So uske liye kya chahiye? Sincerity to understand and practice devotional services needed. One cannot say that. See, actually, na, a sincere devotee will never say that what is the need of understanding all these things. Can't an illiterate, simple faith is sufficient na, in bhakti. What is the need for all knowledge? Actually, one who really has simple faith, na, he will never make such a statement. People who are actually lazy and do not want to make the endeavor to understand the subject matter, such people will make such statements. One who is genuinely simple, na, he will be repentant that I am not able to understand, and he will understand actually. One who is genuinely simple, he will not say that simple faith is sufficient. Whenever most people say simple faith is sufficient, what they actually mean is, I don't need to study. So, if one is incapable, then that is fine. But if one is capable but does not want to do, that is not simple faith. So, therefore, one should not hide behind this statement that simple faith is what is needed. Therefore, I will not study. But they can be confident of this because Krishna will personally assist them. Srila Prabhupada explains, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga in Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. But anyone who follows the principles with great determination surely gets the mercy of the Lord. For God helps those who help themselves. Sa nischayena yuktavyo yogo anirvindna chetasa. Sankalpa prabhavan kamams tyaktva sarvam asheshatah. Like that he quotes from Bhagavad Gita o purport mein, as you know, Gauranam Prabhu mentioned, you know, he talks about the sparrow which tried to empty the ocean to get the eggs, but it attracted the mercy of Garuda. So similarly, ultimately everything is based on mercy only, but our sincere endeavor attracts mercy. So determined effort is needed, but we may not achieve it by determined effort. We need mercy. But determined effort will attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. This brings us again to the original purpose of this book, to help readers take fuller advantage of devotional literature such as Krishna in Vrindavan series. We felt we needed to provide a separate introductory book as a guide. So, Maharaj wanted to, because when he released this Naparayeham, Krishna Sangati, and Venu Geet. So, these books, yeah, Navavraja Mahima also maybe. So, people were confused. Are padne ke liye adhikar hai ki nahi humko? So then Maharaj put a full stop to that, and first he wrote this book. What is the qualification to read those books? Devotees need tools with which they can assess their own advancement so that they can more easily apply the suitable process of devotional service, especially in hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. There must be some self-assessment tools. Where am I and what is expected of me? And if I have to go to the next stage, what should I do? How do I identify the next stage? What are the symptoms? All those things. So Madhurya Kadambini acts as that self-assessment tool. This overall understanding will also help preachers assess the level of advancement of those under their care, as well as of the various audiences with whom they speak. So you need to understand what is the level of this person. and accordingly you have to give him the message.
Sometimes devotees argue that any kind of preaching is good preaching. This argument is as incomplete as the above claim that I believe in Krishna.
Uska kuch matlab hi nahi. If you believe in Krishna, then you have to do something. Otherwise, like as Prabhupada writes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, he defines in Manas Siksha, Bhajan Darpan commentary, he writes, what is surrender? He says, surrender is the external manifestation of one's internal cultivation of love and affection for Krishna. So, if one says that I love Krishna, then it must be seen in their symptoms of surrender. So, if the mother loves the child, she need not tell it. From her actions, one can clearly see that the mother loves the child. That is surrender. He says, surrender means the external symptoms of one's internal cultivation of love and affection for Krishna.
So, otherwise one may say, I believe in Krishna. But
that belief has to be manifested in the forms of practical activities of surrender.
For example, the Padma Puran states that it is an offense to give persons knowledge beyond their capacity to understand.
The ninth offense, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name.
This places a great responsibility on preacher devotees. Surely they are doing the most valuable thing by giving Krishna consciousness to others. But if they are careless in their giving and do not gauge the qualification of their audience, then they risk impeding their own advancement as well as the advancement of their listeners.
So you have to be careful as to what they can take. So therefore this kind of direct preaching may not work for everyone. So that's why in Madhura Kadambini he says the one gets swayed. Faith is of two types, swabhaviki and upadita. Swabhaviki shraddha means that which develops by, you know, watching devotees, honoring prasadam given by devotees, like that. That is swabhaviki, without any explicit preaching. Like there are cases in some places where a husband and wife along with their small child, they were selling something on the road and they saw the Harinam party come and go 2-3 days. And the third day they were so attracted, husband, wife, child, they joined the Harinam party, went inside the temple and joined the temple, became initiated devotees. No preaching. This is swabhaviki. Sometimes when you see a person interested, the person may share some thing about Krishna consciousness and that may attract them. That is called as balotpadita. So balotpadita is direct and certain, you know, very attractive singing, attractive dancing, very well coordinated dancing. That is like in one sense, like you can say indirect. Prasadam is, you can say it all depends on, for different people you ask them what is direct, what is indirect, they will give different answers. For some people, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur laid absolute emphasis on prasadam distribution. Said even if people come to temple, don't hear anything and go, it's okay, but they should not go without prasadam. So you will say, is prasadam distribution direct or indirect? So the point is, whatever works, we have to be sensitive to understand what works for whom.
Of course, all preaching carries some risk to the preacher, especially in times such as ours when people are generally faithless. We have to be careful. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada often said that to preach means to inject faith where there was none.
That is preaching. First you give them faith, then you give them knowledge. Otherwise it is like preparing the most exquisite sweet rice, piping hot right from the oven, and you say, please show your palms. pour it, what will happen? It will burn his hands. And maybe it will next burn your cheek also. So, the first thing before, you are giving the most wonderful thing. But first you have to give him a vessel to hold it. That vessel is Shraddha. So help him develop that Shraddha. And Shraddha Anusar, Gyan should be given. According to his Shraddha, whatever he can digest, only that much should be given. So, Srila Prabhupada often said that to preach means to inject faith where there was none. And Lord Chaitanya will certainly protect the well-meaning, thoughtful preacher in all respects. Thoughtful preacher means one who is sensitive. A sensitive preacher is one who is actually compassionate. So, sensitivity comes from compassion. Genuine compassion. Then he will do whatever he wants, whatever is needed to give that person Krishna consciousness. Like His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj was accused. You are in Africa, he used to wear those, you know, different kinds of traditional African dress to preach people. And many people had almost like kicked him out of ISKCON. Telling that, you know, what are you doing? How could you dress yourself in such an outrageous way? You are a sannyasi. So Maharaj said, another sannyasi was accusing. He said, Maharaj, you think, that's African dashiki is called. You think dressing in a dashiki is outrageous? He said, if I can influence a person's heart, I am willing to preach in my diapers. Maharaj said, mera kopin pehenke main preach karne ke liye tayyar hu, agar kisi ko Krishna consciousness mile usse. So that was the mode of. And that is born out of genuine compassion. Genuine compassion. Because you can see it from his sacrifice. Ek cheez ko leke aap pura siddhanta nahi bana sakte. O vyakti ko dekho. See his sacrifice. From that you can understand the sincerity of that person. Still the above verse warns devotees that they must be aware of the audience's qualification, give Krishna consciousness accordingly. Novices and idealistic devotees sometimes question why there are misconceptions and improper practices in a perfect process. Abhi aapka Krishna consciousness to ekdam perfect process hai bol rahe hain, par wo Krishna consciousness society ke andar bhi misconceptions hai, improper practices hai, aise kaise? So Prabhupada writes, Shivaram Maharaj writes, we should understand that anomalies are in part a natural consequence of the attempt to practice a perfect spiritual science in an imperfect world full of less than perfect souls. So what do you expect when we are trying to practice the perfect process in an imperfect world filled with less than perfect souls? So you will definitely expect some anomalies in their practice. Misconceptions arise from ignorance and faithlessness. And improper practice arises from ulterior motives for personal prestige and gain. Thus, as Krishna consciousness continues to spread throughout the world, so will impediments to genuine devotion. That will also spread. Spreading Krishna consciousness is like sowing flower seeds. It is inevitable that weeds will sprout along with the flowers. So, that does not mean that ye jameen mein flower aayega hi nahi. So, let me start sowing weeds only. Weed seeds. Not like that. You have to continue to sow flower seeds only. At the same time, try to remove the weeds. rather than telling that, oh, yeah, this place is not fit for pure devotion only. Let me give some other seed. Not like that. A gardener must be able to distinguish the desired plants from the weeds and to pull the weeds as soon as they appear. Similarly, wherever Krishna consciousness spreads, the weeds of impure devotion will sprout. It is natural. All devotees must carefully weed the garden of their heart as well as the greater garden of ISKCON. It is responsibility. खुद का हार्ट से भी ये वीड्स को निकालना चाहिए और बाकी हमारे अदर प्रैक्टिशनर्स ऑफ ISKCON उनका हार्ट से भी ये वीड को निकालने का जितना हमारा शक्ति है यथाशक्ति प्रयास करना चाहिए.
इट इज द प्रीचर्स ड्यूटी देन एंड इट इज एस्पेशली द ड्यूटी ऑफ दोज हु टेक पोजीशंस ऑफ अथॉरिटी एज टेंपल प्रेसिडेंट
ऑफ वाडा बेस. Sannyasis,
spiritual masters and GBC secretaries to protect the society from misunderstandings and the disparities they cause. Srila Prabhupada's sincere followers must be properly equipped to protect ISKCON from discrepancies so that the society's legacy, which is the path of pure devotion to Krishna, may be kept clear. As already mentioned, devotional service has two basic divisions. Which is semblance of devotion and pure devotion, mixed devotion and pure devotion. Because of the permutations and combinations of influences that act on conditioned souls, there are innumerable types of mixed devotion. Nonetheless, our acharyas outline the development of such semblance of devotion as follows. Gradually, how it develops. First, people generally follow the rules and regulations of social system given in the Vedic literature, Varnashram Dharma, but without knowledge of Lord Vishnu. Next, within Varnashram system, they start practicing, worshipping the Lord, but they perform those activities for their personal gain. This is called as Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti. Then gradually they come to the level of offering the fruits to Vishnu. This is called as Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti. Then, following that, they offer the results of work in full knowledge of the Lord. That is called as Nishkama Karma Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And at last, they become absorbed in the mode of devotion to Vishnu but do not actively serve Him. That is Ashtanga Yoga. Then, they eventually they come to the level of pure devotional service.
Nishkama Karma Jnana.
Yeah, it is almost like Jnana Yoga only.
Still, pure devotion has a number of stages.
If pure devotion, one may have pure devotional Shraddha, but there are within, amongst those people who have pure devotional Shraddha, they could be at the level of Anishtita Bhajan or Nishta or Ruchi or Asakti, like that. There are various stages.
Rupa Goswami delineates the stages of pure devotion in which spiritual emotions awaken and then gradually intensify to the point of unalloyed love. Adav Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriya.
In those two verses, he talks about these various stages. In fact, Madhurya Kadambini is an elaboration of these two verses of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu itself does not very elaborately discuss about the other stages of Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti and all. But Madhuri Kadamini explains.
Anishita also has six stages.
That is also there. Then after that Nishta, then Ruchi, then Asakti. All that is described in detail by Vishnu Jagadha Kur in Madhuri Kadamini.
Turning again to the path leading to the semblance of devotion. The semblance of devotion is born from the seed of impure faith. Faith compromised by attachment to fruitive work, the desire for liberation and craving for mystic powers.
So, mixed devotion is born out of mixed faith. Pure devotion is born out of pure faith.
See, how to relate all these things? Because now, if you see, nobody is acting for liberation or mystic power. How it is relevant to us with this?
Because, it is relevant for us because हमारा प्रीचिंग में वी आर सॉर्ट ऑफ आइडियली व्हेन यू आर प्रीचिंग यू मे कम इन टच विद पीपल हु आर एक्चुअली एस्पायरिंग फॉर दीस थिंग्स बट हु मे बी विलिंग टू वर्शिप विष्णु. Like that. Okay. Fruitive workers follow the path of Varnashram Dharma. Of these workers, some are ignorant of the purpose of the Vedic social system and follow it merely as a tradition.
This is Asuri Varnashram.
Others see the Varnashram society as a vehicle for religious life and still others participate in it out of duty and to set a perfect example.
So different people may practice Varnashram, but the purpose is different. Some people may practice Varnashram,
but without understanding the purpose of Varnashram,
just as a tradition they may practice and they may not worship Vishnu also.
Some people may see Varnashram society as a vehicle for religious life to gain piety. Still others participate in it out of duty.
This is Nishkama.
And still others to set a perfect example for others.
This is devotees.
Okay. As a vehicle for religious life is Sakama Karma Yogis. To out of duty is Nishkama Karma Yogis. To set the perfect example is devotees. Materialistic persons attached to a specific role in the social structure have faith in the efficacy of the Varnashram system. I'm Brahmin hai, I'm Kshatriya hai, like that. Their piety is in their obedience to the divine regulations set forth by Shri Krishna. For them, religion is a means to perfect their social and familial obligations, and therefore they place themselves under the guidance of learned Brahmanas and voluntarily restrain themselves from irreligious acts.
This is first level.
Although such people consider their gain to be peace, happiness and prosperity, in reality they gain something else actually. Whether they realize it or not, the real reward for their piety is their increased eligibility for spiritual life.
Gradually they come to the level of Nishkama Karma Yoga.
Persons governed by the lower modes of nature are unaware that they should become attracted to Krishna and please Him by their work. They are less intelligent.
Alpamedasam.
Krishna does not condemn such persons, but He recommends that they follow the Vedic injunctions and worship Him according to their individual nature.
He does not condemn demigod worshippers. Actually, He is sympathizing with them. He is, what to say, he is in one sense.
He only gives the Shraddha to the
Shraddha. Yeah, but he gives that Shraddha because he sees that inclination in them. That's why he gives them that Shraddha.
Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. As long as one is not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of Vedic injunctions.
So who is qualified to practice Varnashram duties, he is telling.
So a person who has not developed that devotional faith and who still does not feel that, okay, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kritafai,
he is not convinced that it is sufficient to perform Krishna Bhakti to attain all my desires. If one has not come to that position of faith, then he has to continue to perform his Varnashram duties.
To elevate non-devotees, the Vedas recommend worship of demigods who are subordinate limbs of the Supreme Lord.
At least non-devotee matra ho, at least demigod ke prati to aapka akarshan ho raha hai, unko to worship kar sakta hai. This is called Swabhavajam Shraddha.
By directing people to serve these functional deities, the Vedas teach humankind to cultivate a sense of accountability to superior beings.
At least be accountable to some superior beings.
Faith in a particular demigod qualifies followers to perform specific types of worship to fulfill their specific desires.
and when their desires are fulfilled, such materialistic worshippers gain further confidence in the yogas, in the Vedas. For instance, persons with faith in the sun god become qualified to worship the sun god for good health, and women are encouraged to develop faith in goddess Uma in order to attain a good husband. The Vedas contain numerous such prescriptions. If the faith of the materialist is not contaminated by Mayavadi conceptions, it will grow, and over a long period of time, the tendency to accept and follow the authority will strengthen, and it will lead to a semblance of devotion to the Supreme Lord and ultimately to pure devotional service. Only if it is, if there is intervention of devotees, not otherwise. Etavan eva yajatam iha nishreyasodayah bhagavati achalo bhavo yad bhagavata sangatah. This is mentioned in the second canto. After discussing all these various kinds of demigod worship, he says, all these various demigod worshippers, they can come to the level of practicing bhakti towards Krishna only if they get Bhagavat Sangha, association of devotees. Without that association, they cannot. Yeah, exception, sir. In other words, faith in demigods ultimately leads to faith in Krishna. Not necessarily. But at least they will identify with other people who follow Vedas. And within those people who follow Vedas, there could be some persons who are practitioners of pure devotional service. In that way, they have a chance of getting some good association. Therefore, Krishna shows demigod worshippers special interest, and as a super soul in their hearts, he steadies their faith so that they can devote themselves to a particular deity. This raises an important question. If demigod worship is a part of Vedic system, why did Srila Prabhupada preach so vehemently against it? In Kali Yuga, the Vedic system has all but vanished. There are no longer qualified brahmanas to guide people, and no longer the security of a society based on varnashram to facilitate the long term cultivation of faith. ये जो gradual process से cultivate करने का मौका नहीं है. Mayavad philosophy has stolen from the people knowledge of both the demigods and Krishna. Materialism has distracted ordinary people from adhering to religious codes. Time नहीं है. The phone itself takes all their time away. Under the circumstances, the acharyas have discarded demigod worship as ineffectual. ये age में काम नहीं करता है. Srila Prabhupada voiced this same conclusion and strongly encouraged people not to disrespect the demigods but to worship Krishna directly. Don't disrespect them, but at the same time worship Krishna only directly. Srila Prabhupada narrated the story of Sanatan Goswami and the touchstone to illustrate how in the Vedic social system with strong Vaishnava association, demigod worship led to a semblance of devotion and ultimately to pure devotion. Of course, in this case, Lord Shiva acts as the there is Sakapata Kripa and Akapata Kripa. And so someone is approaching. So the demigods have two roles, one as a demigod and another as a Vaishnava. So it depends on in what mood we approach them. If we approach them in the mood of getting our material desires fulfilled, considering them to be the supreme, then they act in their role of demigods. But if we approach them with a genuine desire to know what is the highest goal of life, then they act as Vaishnavas and guide the devotee to worshipping Vishnu. Once a Vedic Brahmana worshipped Lord Shiva to acquire the greatest treasure. What is the greatest treasure he wanted? The Brahmana thought he could be happy by religious means, but Lord Shiva did not want his devotee to entangle himself further in the cycle of birth and death. One day Lord Shiva appeared before the Brahmana and told him that Sanatan Goswami would give him the greatest treasure. The Brahmana rushed to Vrindavan and informed Sanatan Goswami of Lord Shiva's order. The Goswami at once went to a nearby heap of refuse, retrieved something from it and handed it to the Brahmana. He told the Brahmana that it was a touchstone, the most valuable thing in his possession. A touchstone is a divine stone that turns anything it touches into gold. The Brahmana was overjoyed to receive it, but soon wondered why anyone would keep such a treasure in the refuse. Intrigued, he further inquired from Sanatan, "Is this touchstone really the greatest treasure you possess?" Sanatan then instructed him in the temporary nature of material objects and the eternal blissful nature of devotional service. He offered to give the Brahmana his greatest spiritual treasure, but only if the Brahmana was willing to discard the touchstone. The Brahmana did as he was told, and Sanatan gave him Krishna's holy name and pure devotional service, truly the greatest of treasures. In the beginning, the Brahmana was a demigod worshipper, ignorant of the path of pure devotion. But he was approaching Lord Shiva to understand what is the highest treasure. Therefore, he gave him Akapata Kripa. The fruit of his properly worshipping Lord Shiva was contact with the great devotee Sanatan Goswami. As the first effect of Sanatan's company, mixed devotion appeared in the Brahmana's heart, for he had surrendered to the Goswami to acquire wealth. But once the Brahmana had acquired the touchstone, the Brahmana became further purified by continuing to think of the Goswami as well as receiving the Goswami's transcendental teachings. This gave the Brahmana pure faith and eventually pure devotion. But this generally does not happen in this way. Of course, the main point is he approached Sanatan Goswami. And pure devotees can give it in any way.
This you are the continually thinking about Sanatan Goswami.
By that association of Sanatan Goswami. This is the effect of saintly company, truly the greatest treasure of the Varnashram system. So Varnashram system, if one comes, Varnashram system is that which is centered around worshipping Vishnu. So he may have material desires, but there is a good chance that he will identify with other Vishnu worshippers as his fellow men. Without Sadhu Sangha, the Varnashram system is merely a physical framework unable to bestow spiritual advancement. It is like the perennial automobile body of which Srila Prabhupada so often spoke, a body that has no value without the driver soul. In this regard, Raghunath Das Goswami says that even Vrindavan is empty without the presence of great Vaishnavas like Rupa Goswami. How much more vacant then is the Varnashram system without the pure devotees of the Lord? You just keep reading it. थोड़ा क्लास में बहुत ज्यादा ही पानी पी लिया मुझे. आई वॉन्ट टू अगेन पास वाटर एंड कम. ओके, सो ही कोट्स फ्रॉम श्री स्तवावली, श्री श्री राधिका अष्टोत्तर शतनाम स्तोत्र. शून्यायते महागोष्ठम गिरीन्द्रो अजगरायते व्याघ्रतुंडायते कुंडम जीवातु रहितस्य मे. सो ही सेज दैट शून्यायते महागोष्ठम. महागोष्ठम इज द लैंड ऑफ व्रज. इज शून्यायते हैज बिकम एम्प्टी एंड डिसोलेट. गिरीन्द्रो अजगरायते एंड गिरी इंद्र इज Govardhan, he has become like a big python. Vyagra tundayate kundam, Radha Kund has become like the gaping mouth of a ferocious tiger. Jivatu rahitasyame, now that I no longer have the sustainer of my life, Shri Rupa, the land of Raja has become empty and desolate. Like that. There is a contemporary example confirming the point made above that is worth noting. In the mid-1980s, the head of Coventry, England's congregational preaching, was about to marry. He had been a lifelong devout Vaishnava. His prospective wife, arranged for him by his parents, had been a devout worshipper of Lord Shiva. When the young man arrived in UK, a conflict arose between husband and wife over whether Krishna or Shiva would be the family deity. Both sides argued from family tradition and their understanding of scripture, yet neither could convince the other. One night, Lord Shiva appeared in a dream to the young woman and told her that because she had faithfully worshipped him for many years, she could now worship Lord Krishna. By serving Lord Krishna, she would serve Lord Shiva in the best possible way. After the dream, the young woman became a Vaishnavi, in time took initiation and now serves Gaur Nitya and Lord Jagannath with exceptional love and devotion. This case is as exceptional as the individual involved, yet it shows how under ideal circumstances, demigod worship can lead pure-hearted persons to Krishna, which means they are approaching the demigod to understand what is the best. Unfortunately, nowadays demigod worshippers generally become Mayavadis and remain far distant from pure Vaishnavism. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada consistently discouraged demigod worship, promoting instead the direct service of Lord Krishna. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very clear about this, that in this day and age, these indirect processes will not work. When the followers of the Varnashram Dharma come to the stage of mixed faith in Krishna, they are eligible for semblance of devotion, Bhakti Abhas. Bhakti Abhas means mixed devotional service.
Somehow that we have to be connected with Krishna, that we have to be pure.
Not naturally. If they are within the Vedic platform, then they will feel a sense of camaraderie with other Vedic practitioners. And within those Vedic practitioners, there may be some Vaishnavas, Vishnu worshippers. In their association, they may become Vishnu worshippers, but mixed Vishnu worshippers. But now that they have become Vishnu worshippers, there is a good chance that they will feel a sense of camaraderie with Vishnu worshippers amongst the greater family of Vedic practitioners. So amongst those Vishnu worshippers could be those who practice Vishnu with Anyabhilashita Shunya, worship Vishnu with worship Anyabhilashita, pure devotional practitioners. There is a good chance like that. The mode of nature that dominates the character of each devotee dictates the type of semblance of devotion he or she takes up. Lord Kapila explains that due to innumerable combinations of the modes, there are multifarious paths of mixed devotional service. 29th chapter. Thus, practices such as chanting, hearing and deity worship are performed in diverse ways with different various motives. Mixed devotees. The path leading to pure devotion is graded according to the devotee's relative freedom from the modes of material nature. Are you a devotee who is freed from the modes of material nature, or are you a devotee who is within the modes of material nature? Then what is a mixed devotee? Yeah, correct. So when we talk about devotees who are transcendental, beyond the three modes, it generally refers to their Shraddha. It does not generally refer to the Swabhava. Whereas mixed devotees, what is mixed in a mixed devotee is their Shraddha. It is mixed with three modes. Whereas for pure devotional practitioners, their Shraddha is pure. That is why they are called pure devotional practitioners. But their Swabhava may be mixed.
The mode of nature that dominates the character of each devotee. Character is Swabhava.
Here character means Shraddha only. Their value system. Value system. What do they value?
Various motives.
Motives. Yeah. The path leading to pure devotion is graded according to the devotee's relative freedom from the modes of material nature. Dominated by ignorance, the lowest grade devotees tend to be lazy, to oversleep, to give up easily, to break the rules, to make foolish mistakes and so on. Dominated by passion, they are apt to over-endeavor, cultivate separate interests, to be too attached to results, fight unnecessarily with others and change services often and whimsically. Dominated by goodness, devotees are inclined to remain secluded, be thoughtful, regulated, knowledgeable, happy to the point of self-complacency and to think themselves better than others.
Happy to the point of self-complacency.
ठीक है, ठीक चल रहा है ना, आइडिया
सेटिस्फाइड।
लॉर्ड कपिला डिस्टिल्स द इंट्रिकेट कॉम्बिनेशंस ऑफ द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर टू गिव अ सिंपल वे टू असेस प्रोग्रेस इन द पाथ ऑफ मिक्स्ड डिवोशन। अहम मम अभिमानोत्तैः कामलोभादिभिर्मलैः वीतं यदा मनः शुद्धं अदुःखं असुखं समम्। सो सीरीज ऑफ वर्सेस ही टॉक्स अबाउट, इट्स इट एक्चुअली टॉक्स अबाउट लिम्स ऑफ प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस। एक्चुअली ही सेज when one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I and bodily possessions as mind, one's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. This is from 25th chapter of 3rd canto. Lust and greed are the prominent symptoms of conditioned life. They are the primary characteristics of false ego, which invokes a false sense of I-ness and my-ness. Ahankar and Mamakar. In Srila Prabhupada's words, the false ego is typified by two attitudes. I am this body, Ahanta, and everything in my bodily relationships belongs to me. That is Mamata, Ahanta and Mamata. One can tell the degree to which the semblance of devotion is progressing towards pure devotion by how free one is from the sense of I-ness and my-ness. How are the modes of nature and these two symptoms of conditioned life purified by the practice of semblance of devotion? Mixed devotional service say, kaise ye ahamta aur mamata purification purify hota hai, agar hota hai kya? Activities in goodness are common to all types of mixed devotion, and cultivation of activities in goodness further invokes the mode of goodness. This in turn inspires devotees to commit further sattvic acts. As the mode of goodness increases, it gradually displaces passion and ignorance. As the heart is purified and transcendental knowledge assimilated, devotees awaken to their true identity, where they are relieved of the false impressions of I-ness and my-ness. Which means even mixed devotional service may say, gradually when one practices, slowly the Rajogun and Tamogun impressions, they start going away, and then Satvaguni impressions start coming away. And the nature of Satvaguni impressions is knowledge, so they get the right knowledge.
Activities in goodness are common to all type of sadness of devotion.
In one sense, even in Rajoguni, Tamoguni bhakti also, the bhakti itself may be, some aspect of goodness is there. At this stage, they become firmly situated in goodness, the gateway to pure devotion. Actually, just like oh, mixed devotional service may, more than clarifying points, many things got actually little confusing section actually. The way in which it was written was quite confusing. Again, the same approach somehow Maharaj is taking. It is more than clarifying points, it is sort of little bit confusing, at least the way in which it is written. At this stage, they become firmly situated in goodness, the gateway to pure devotion. What are the practical things someone does to cultivate goodness and gradually free himself or herself from the sense of I-ness and my-ness? Especially, what can one do to free oneself from ahankar and mamakar? Krishna says that the mode of goodness becomes increasingly prominent when one studies religious scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, chants mantras such as the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, performs rituals such as worshipping Krishna's deities forms, and practices meditation such as by remembering Krishna's pastimes. Okay, this is Bhagavatam 11th canto 13th chapter. Householders can free themselves from material contamination by embracing a way of life that harmonizes with the illuminating quality of goodness. This means that grihastha devotees should live in family life without much attachment. They should eat, sleep, dress and bathe according to Brahmanical standards, and they should always avoid associating with or residing with non-devotees.
As for employment, they should maintain themselves by honest work without excessive endeavor and without becoming overly dependent on others. Like that.
This is like as Bhaktivinoda, as Rupa Goswami writes, Atyahara prayasascha pradalpo niyamagraha dinasangascha laulyamcha shakdir bhaktir vinashchati utsaha nischaya dharya tattat kamma pravartana sangatyagat sato vritte sadvir bhaktir siddhati.
Like that. All of these items situate a person in the mode of goodness and elevate the practitioner. The great sages who understand Vedic knowledge have therefore given these guidelines to benefit the conditioned souls. Those who follow the Varnashram system and who adhere to these regulations rise through the stages of semblance of devotion outlined below.
Jo Varnashram dharma ke dwara bhakti mein pravesh kar rahe hain, they follow all these things.
Fruitive workers first recognize their obligation to Krishna when they come to know him as a supreme proprietor.
Jo fruitive workers hai, they understand that, oh, Krishna is the provider of my fruit.
This is Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti. Okay. To ensure their material prosperity, they offer the Lord the results of their work and display the beginnings of detachment. As a result, their sense of minus somewhat slackens.
Ye mera hai, ye mera hai. It becomes little weak.
But although these materialistic devotees regularly hear that they are not the body, due to ongoing attachment to family and society, their I-ness remains entrenched.
Very deep, I-ness.
They cannot help but identify with the body. Next, workers give up their motivation for personal gain and instead labor for Lord out of sense of duty. This is Nishkama Karma Mishra. At this stage, both the sense of minus and I-ness diminish, but the identity remains unclear.
What exactly is my identity?
The newfound role as Krishna's servant is solely in relation to temporary duties, not an eternal service.
So, with respect to their Varnashram duties, they offer their fruits, but they are not performing all the activities for the pleasure of Krishna.
Their surrender, though, has gone beyond that of selfish workers, because such Nishkama Karma Yogis try to offer every act of life, not just their work, to the Lord. This is called as Karmarpanam.
This is like Karma Mishra Bhakti. Can say Nishkama Karma se Karma Mishra Bhakti. In Nishkama Karma Yoga, only the prescribed Varnashram prescribed duties, their fruits are offered. But in Karma Mishra Bhakti, all activities, fruits of all activities are offered to Krishna. And in devotional service, all activities are performed for pleasure of Krishna.
As dutiful devotees advance, they recognize that detached work is incomplete without attentive spiritual practices such as studying scripture and chanting Hare Krishna. At this stage, the devotion is mixed with cultivation of knowledge. So this becomes Nishkama Karma Jnana Mishra Bhakti. As a result of their devotional practices, their sense of I-ness and minus diminishes further.
Basically, it's telling that ye jo yoga ladder mein kaisa slowly, slowly wo Ahankar and Mamakar becomes loose and loose and loose and loose, and eventually at the stage of pure devotional service it becomes completely gone.
As a result of the devotional practices, their sense of I-ness and minus diminishes further, but because their attachment to Krishna is weak, they still have no clear sense of their spiritual identity. Their sense of being Krishna's servant is more an ideal than practicality. Finally, when devotees revive the awareness that they are Krishna's servant, they reach a stage equivalent to the eightfold path of mysticism.
This is called as Yoga Mishra Bhakti.
Of course, I don't know what is the source of this.
This is not mentioned in Madhura Kadambini, nor I remember reading in any of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings also in this way.
Yoga ladder
hai, but exactly yoga ladder mein aur yoga hierarchy sahi hai, but yoga ladder is not in that kind of a ladder where one naturally leads to the other. Some stages, okay.
Here everything is bhakti is telling. Krishna is there in the center and is practicing slowly, he is getting purified. In Gita, it was pure karma yoga, pure jnana yoga.
No. Even that karma yoga, jnana yoga, that has the element of bhakti. Yeah. Otherwise, it will not give any result. If it does not give any result, why would Krishna recommend it?
Bhagavad-gita. Although they feel themselves to be servants of Krishna, they remain attached to their sadhana and to all the conditions that facilitate it, but in a way that obscures active service to Krishna. As a result, these devotees do not actively serve the deity or take up the missionary activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. This, he says, is Yoga Mishra Bhakti. First time I am hearing such a thing. The four preceding paragraphs demonstrated how increased contact with the mode of goodness gradually elevates devotees from one level of semblance of devotion to another. Here, mode of goodness he is talking about is Shraddha, on the level of Shraddha. Since these stages have already been discussed in chapters 4 and 5, this section closes with a final comment. Devotees should not take up the activities of semblance of devotion, thinking them easier than the practice of pure devotion. This is the main point. Koi bolna nahi chahiye, arre this person is so conditioned, so he is not fit to practice pure devotional service. Conditioning is not a disqualification. And those who are very conditioned, they can easily practice mixed devotional service. Actually, the practices of mixed devotional service are more difficult than practices of pure devotional service. So it is on the level of Shraddha. Ye jo alag alag prakar ka jo vidhi hai, alag alag marg hai, karma mishra bhakti ya jnana mishra bhakti, ye sab Shraddha ke anusar hai, conditioning ke anusar nahi hai. This we have to understand, because this is the biggest misconception. And this is the root cause of many, many wrong understandings. Are ye itna conditioned hai, ये शुद्ध भक्ति करने के लिए लायक है क्या? तो शुद्ध भक्ति का जो ये है क्वालिफिकेशन, दैट इज श्रद्धा, नॉट स्वभाव. दैट इज व्हाट कृष्णा इंडिकेट्स बाय, नॉट फॉर एनी प्रोसेस, फॉर ज्ञान इट इज स्वभाव. अगर आपका स्वभाव पूर्ण तरह से शुद्ध नहीं हुआ तो आप ज्ञान प्रैक्टिस नहीं कर सकते. On top of that, you need Shraddha for Jnana also.
That is compulsory.
Compulsory. But for Bhakti, only Shraddha is needed. Purity is not a prerequisite. So, to make purity a prerequisite for Bhakti is not right. Bhakti itself purifies. Since these stages have already been discussed, okay. Devotees should not take up the activities of semblance of devotion, thinking them easier than practice of pure devotion. अरे इसको इतना conditioning है, ये कर्म मिश्र भक्ति easily कर सकता है. गलत. Because you are making conditioning the criteria for deciding whether one is qualified for practicing pure devotional service or not. Nowhere it is given. अपिचेत सुदुराचारो भजते माम अनन्य भाग साधुरेव समन्तव्य सम्यक व्यवस्थितो हि सः. हां ब्रह्मात्रस्य अधिकारिता. नेदर शुड दे थिंक दैट श्रील प्रभुपाद्स वन लाइफ टाइम अप्रोच टू प्योर डिवोशन इज टू डिमांडिंग, और दैट द ग्रेजुअल रूट थ्रू द सेम्ब्लेंस ऑफ डिवोशन इज मोर रियलिस्टिक. वन शुड नॉट से दैट द ग्रेजुअल रूट है ना, ये मोर रियलिस्टिक है. ये जो शुद्ध भक्ति जो प्रभुपाद ने बोला वो बहुत आइडियलिस्टिक है. गलत. Why? The hallmark of Srila Prabhupada's true followers is the conviction that his approach to the path of perfection is the most painless and pragmatic path. Srila Prabhupada did not advise us to practice semblance of devotion, mixed devotion. To perfect the process requires a stable global varnashram society that can ensure favorable conditions over many lifetimes. Ek global varnashram society ka zarurat hai usme. Fir over many lifetimes one can perfect that path of indirect, jo mixed devotion se, ek mixed devotion se, dusra mixed devotion se, tisra mixed devotion se, karke karke shuddha bhakti tak pahunchne ka, wo bahut lamba hai, aur uska varnashram, existence of a varnashram society ka zarurat hai usme. Such a varnashram system does not exist at present anywhere.
And even if ISKCON were to establish a stable Varnashram network through self-sufficient farm communities, that would not solve the problem for the majority of devotees who reside in cities. For Shivaram Swami Maharaj was the one who was originally commissioned to research on this Varanashram.
And he started in
Abhay. One may argue that, and after starting that farm and perfectly establishing it, he is speaking this. As any theoretical knowledge, one may argue that because the results of devotional service continue from life to life, there is no harm in a multi-life approach to perfection. Next life mein to neha vikramana ashwasti pratyavayana dete kya problem hai. While it is true that Krishna guarantees that our advancement on the path of devotion is permanent, he makes no guarantee that conditions we will face in future lives will be stable. So now we see how difficult life has become pre-internet and post-internet era. Kitna saal? Hardly 2 decades now. 2 decades back there was, you know, hardly much internet. Abhi 2 decades mein kitna degradation ho gaya. And in the last one, you can say how many years of smartphones?
One decade.
2006 se hai kya smartphones? But utna widespread. Yeah, almost like 7-8 years you can say. You can say yes, you said 4-5 years. So, abhi next lifetime matlab socho, kitna favorable rahega wo condition, situation. If devotees consider the present environment troublesome to their spiritual life, then they should assume that the future will be even more troublesome. Kali Yuga is drifting into further degradation. Srila Prabhupada's approach echoes the will of the previous acharyas. Take up to pure devotion in one lifetime, you perfect it and go back. He encourages everyone to make an intense effort to become perfect in Krishna consciousness within this lifetime. His divine grace's followers, members of ISKCON, should honor his desire by making every effort to aim for spiritual perfection, leaving the results in his hands, Prabhupada's hands. Full confidence in Srila Prabhupada's guidance is the symptom of pure faith in him. This final point deserves further comment. What does it mean to have full faith in the guidance of Srila Prabhupada? We will learn this tomorrow. For now, we will pause here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj ki, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani ki. So I think definitely we can complete this chapter before. We have already completed 41 slides. We have about 19 slides more. So, I think even if on Monday, if we do a quick recap also, I think on Monday itself we can complete this chapter. If not, at least on Tuesday definitely we can complete this chapter.